All right, Tuesday night. I hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Let's hop right into this thing. Spitfire video. New revelations are coming out about 1-6, as we prayed that they would. All these things would be exposed. The collaborators, the cooperators, the corrupt would be exposed. And they are. Spitfire video. Pelosi, Nancy Pelosi, literally admits, strange, probably being filmed by her own daughter. I'm not sure. I'm assuming so, because you have a mobile camera inside what appears to be an SUV limousine, where Pelosi literally admits she is responsible for the results of J6. Play it for me, Heather.
We have responsibility, Terry. We did not have any accountability for what was going on there, and we should have. This is ridiculous. You're going to ask me in the middle of the thing when they've already breached the inaugural stuff should we call the Capitol Police? I mean, the National Guard? Why weren't the National Guard there to begin with?
They thought that they had sufficient resources.
There was not a question of how they had been. They don't know. They clearly didn't know, and I take responsibility for not having them just prepare for more.
All right, let's go backwards to the front there, where she says, I take responsibility. Get the duplicity in this now. And it's purposeful duplicity. It's purposeful disingenuousness and lying. And, of course, galactic dishonesty. But she says, I take responsibility for the National Guard not being there. And then not 10, 12 seconds before that says, why aren't the National Guard there? I mean, everyone needs to understand, you need to look at the evilness of these people. And believe me, I'm not saying that anybody, you know, Republican is perfect because they're Republican or anything like that, because there's plenty of liars on the right also, but not nearly as bad as the left, because basically everything the left says is a lie, and some of what the right says is a lie. And when I say right, I mean that includes like rhinos and things like that. Those of us who actually believe in conservatism don't lie. But she says, I mean, get this, she's like, I take responsibility for them not being there, the National Guard, and not 10, 20 seconds before says, why isn't the National Guard there? Well, again, you have to look at the conviction of which she lies. She's having her daughter that she knew this was all going to happen.
Yeah.
Because this is a Fed surrection. And again, I'm just like Alex Jones stands the same way, Bannon stands the same way. We know that some conservatives, legitimate conservatives, red hat wearing MAGA people that really aren't that smart were dragged into this, and it's their own responsibility. I don't mean dragged in where that was against their free will or something, but they were enticed into it. The goofball sitting at Nancy Pelosi's desk, people like that, and most of them have already suffered way too much of a penalty to begin with.
Yeah,
but and the people that actually beat on law enforcement, if they were really conservatives, they need to suffer the same consequences of people who beat on law enforcement that aren't conservative. Again, unless, you know, and everything is very, again, there's just multiple layers to this, because law enforcement was also complicit.
Yeah.
Was shooting rubber bullets at people that didn't deserve to have rubber bullets shot at them, tear gassing people that didn't deserve to have tear gas shot at them, and various other physical things done by law enforcement that weren't needed, as well as law enforcement removing the barriers and allowing people in, Ray Epps being the first breach. And of course, he goes, basically, people can say he's prosecuted. The left can say that he's prosecuted for his minor little misdemeanors, never spent any time in jail at all, not 1 second in jail, because we know that he is an FBI informant, an NGO informant, State Department informant, called Nancy Pelosi's office 4 times prior to 1-6. We know that. That's all absolutely true. But you just have to look at it. It's very difficult for people like people like you and I to even discuss, because it doesn't make any sense to us. But when you're simply a person who is a galactic 24/7, 365 fraud, like Nancy Pelosi is, she's absolute fraud.
Yeah.
She can do these things. It doesn't bother at all. If Aaron and I were to do this and we were to, like, you know, 1 minute I said, I'm responsible. And then the next minute I'm acting like, I don't know what happened. I don't know why they're not there.
Yeah.
We would be going, how can we live with ourselves like this? I mean, how in the world can we actually live a life like this of just being an absolute fraud?
Yeah.
But she has no problem, because that's her entire life. She's made upwards of $100 million or more. She's worth allegedly $200 million that she's made fraudulently off insider trading in the stock market. So you just have to look at it. She's in this limousine, and she's speaking with such surprise and conviction because everything in her life is an acting job.
Yep.
It's like I tell you, when I say nobody, there's always a few exceptions, like Matt Gaetz and Ron Johnson and people like that, Rand Paul, who are legitimate human beings, who have legitimate beliefs. MTG, I don't agree with her all the time, but she has legitimate beliefs. She sticks with them. That's Nancy Pelosi has no legitimate beliefs. If she thought that being anti-mask would politically benefit her, she would have been anti-mask.
That's right.
If she would have thought anti-vax would be politically beneficial for her, she'd be anti-vax. Same thing with CO2 and climate change or anything and everything else. Transgenderism, if she thought that it was politically non-beneficial for her to lop off penises and breasts, she would stop lopping off penises and breasts.
Yeah.
But she doesn't. So she just goes wherever the political winds blow her, and that's just the way that it is. That's how she is. But I just marvel at it, and I don't mean to be overly redundant on this, but I'm just sitting there going, how in the world can you be such a convicted, and I don't mean that in a criminal sense, but full of conviction liar? Yeah. I mean, it's just amazing how she just pulls off this act. So she spontaneously, allegedly, but she's being filmed, says, I'm responsible for the National Guard not being there. And 20 seconds before says, why are they not there? Well, let's delve deep into this. Chief Stephen Sun, that of course was the Capitol Hill police chief at the time of 1/6. Later was basically forced to resign by Nancy Pelosi for not having the National Guard there. And again, you're like, how does this work? Because nobody, and here's the thing. I fault Chief Sun for this also. I appreciate him being transparent. I appreciate him being honest. But why don't you stand up at the time? Probably because he was defending his retirement. And he didn't want to be fired, so he could maybe. And again, I don't know any of this, and I don't want to denigrate a man wrongly. Yeah. I'm just like, why don't you, and I might be wrong, I'm just saying, why don't you stand at the time, look into the camera, speak into the podium, speak into the microphone, that Nancy Pelosi is a bold-faced liar, because Aaron and I were watching the post 1/6 proceedings, and that did not happen.
Yeah.
There was statements. His statements were all true, but everybody stopped short of being maybe what they consider to be offensive. Listen, it is time to be offensive. If your opposition will not hesitate to offend you, then why do you hesitate to offend them? And he should have looked into the camera and said, Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, along with Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer at the time, as well as Kevin McCarthy, Minority Leader, were in charge, but mainly Nancy Pelosi and Mitch McConnell. So let's just be sure they were the decision makers. I'll hold McCarthy, and it's probably under the Speaker of the House, probably Hakeem Jeffries at the time. All of those people accountable to some degree because they didn't speak out. But the decision makers were Nancy Pelosi and Mitch McConnell at the time.
Yeah.
And they turned down the National Guard. They turned them down. Trump offered it at least three times of upwards of 10,000 troops. If you have 10,000 troops sitting there with up-armored Humvees, do you think 1/6 happens? Absolutely not.
No.
But here's Stephen Sun. Pelosi was surprised. He's reacting to this video. We didn't have the National Guard on January 6th. Again, but I really do apologize for the redundancy. A lot of times I'm sarcastic with my apologies. I actually mean it right now. But I do apologize for the redundancy. But you have to kind of take these things line by line. Nancy Pelosi was surprised that the National Guard wasn't there on 1/6. No, she said that she was responsible for it after she said she was surprised they weren't there.
Yeah.
So she says, I'm surprised. Why aren't they there? And then later on, I mean, again, 10, 20 seconds later, says, I'm responsible for them not being there. Here's why she was responsible. I was denied, Stephen Sun, chief of the Capitol Police, I was denied National Guard support multiple times before January 6th and repeatedly for 71 minutes on January 6th. So on January, my story has not changed, which is 100% true. Listen, in my opinion, he should have been way harsher, way meaner, but the man has not lied. Unlike everybody else,
yeah,
he hasn't lied, but they have. So get this. So she denies him, McConnell denies him, the National Guard that was offered to them at least three times by Donald Trump. He says multiple times that he wanted them. He called for, this is before 1-6, before 1-6. And by the way, the National Guard could have been there in the middle of 1-6. They're right there.
Yep.
They're only minutes away. They could have been dispatched on 1-6. I mean, let's just leave this up for me, Heather. Get this now. If you're seeing it and you're like, now, how did everyone understands the timeline, right? That really the 1-6 riot, or what the leftards like to call an insurrection, which was an unarmed insurrection, which has never happened in history. That's like saying there's a civil war with no guns. Or a military coup with no military.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah. Aaron gets what I'm saying. So so you're, during Trump's speech is when the insurrection began, or the riot began, or the coup d'etat began. while Trump was basically speaking, towards the end of when Trump was speaking, or maybe even before that. I don't think anybody's really firmly established the timeline. So you could see it if you are Chief Sund and he's watching, or any member of the Metro DC Metro Police Department, which again were complicit in the riot. These were people instigating the riot, as well as Stephen Sund's troops were too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he was involved in it, but some of his troops were removing barriers, opening doors, allowing people in. Was that okay? And you had FBI assets secreted inside of the Capitol with Trump paraphernalia on, MAGA hat, paraphernalia, MAGA gear on inside of the Capitol? Because you're like, how do you know that? Because Christopher Wray refuses to answer the question of whether or not he had FBI assets inside the Capitol prior to the breach.
Yeah.
So there, you're sitting there and you're like, okay, this is percolating. So I guarantee you this is how it worked. So 71 minutes, okay, repeatedly for 71 minutes, for an hour and 11 minutes, he was begging for the National Guard to be dispatched, which could only happen through Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, or Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, who are in charge of security for the Capitol.
Yeah.
So we're all wondering how this 1-6 happened. They want to continue to litigate 1-6. Let's litigate 1-6, and none of this can be forgotten once we take over the DOJ on January 20th of 2025. Why? I mean, again, you have to ask yourself, why are they hiding 15,000 hours worth of video footage? And again, this time sarcastically, I apologize for the redundancy. But, you know, why would you hide 15,000 hours of exculpatory materials from 1-6 defendants? Again, you have people like, their last names, like Dunn, you know, Gunnell, Fanone. These are the Capitol Hill police officers or DC Metro police officers that are our heroes,
yeah,
that were allegedly injured. Then why won't you release Fanone's body cam footage?
There you go.
why can't we see his body cam footage? I want you to lay out line by line exactly how he was injured. Gunnell claims that he had to have surgeries. I'd like to know what they were. These are people who had people's criminal sentences enhanced because of their injuries. And again, it's very general. I like to explain all this so that people know, and I'm not saying that to be, to be sarcastic or to be patronizing to anybody. But all that has to happen is it doesn't have to be case specific. Like an officer doesn't have to go to, if Heather's being charged in 1-6 for capital breach for unknowingly trespass or whatever it is. The current charge that Matthew Graves trying to get about another 1,000 or 1,400 defendants on is knowingly trespassing without knowing that they're trespassing because the barriers are not. But say she's like being charged with that. Well, her sentence can be enhanced because one officer was injured by another person during the event, had nothing to do with her, a mile away.
Yeah.
So simply by officers saying that we were injured during the event can enhance the sentences of those who aren't being charged with injuring them. Does that make sense,
yeah.
Aaron?
Yep.
So that's what Gunnell and Fanone and Harry Dunn, by the way, who lost his congressional race, that means he got trounced in a primary. So what a hero that fat tub of goo is. Talk about Twinkie. He's really Twinkie's one, and Bragg would be Twinkie's two. But anyway, so we need to understand, you know, the timeline on this and how you have Sund asking for 71 minutes. And again, this almost comes down to like a Benghazi thing, 13 hours,
mm-hmm.
where you have Hillary Clinton, Barack Hussein Obama, Joe Biden, whoever was defense secretary at the time, all saying that there was no time to scramble U.S. assets or U.S. military forces to Benghazi. How would you know how much time you had? When you're 13, 14 minutes into a 13-hour attack, how do you know that you don't have time? The attempt was never made. I could see if they made an attempt 15 minutes into it and the forces showed up 15 minutes late, say 13 hours and 15 minutes later. Then you say, we tried, but it's too late. You never tried, and your excuse is we didn't have enough time. How would you know that? It sounds exactly like the contradictions and the cover-up that Nancy Pelosi's a part of. Why isn't the Capitol Guard there? I take full responsibility for them not being there. Why aren't they there? I take full responsibility for them not being there because they asked and I didn't deliver. And it's all the exact same thing. And everything, there's nothing is ever about solving a problem. Everything, it's just like Joe Biden's border policy, his border EO right now, executive order right now. It's not about, why in the world would Joe Biden suddenly, after he said for 3.5 years that he can't issue an EO and fix the border, then why is he now in June of 2024, a presidential election year, suddenly issuing not one, but two EOs to close the border? And when I say close the border, you know that I mean that facetiously.
Of course.
Certainly not closing anything at all with either one of these EOs, but I don't have time to get into that right now. It's basically just redirecting the 15,000 a day. Still be 15,000 illegal border invaders allowed in per day, just redirected through different entry places. That's it. And but because, again, that makes my point for me, is it's not about solving the problem. It's about not solving the problem because the problem is what you want and making it look like you're trying to solve the problem.
Yeah.
That's all that it is. Look at the bottom part, Oversight Committee. Since January 6, 2021, Nancy Pelosi spent 3.5 years and nearly $20 million creating a narrative to blame Donald Trump, including Cassidy Hutchinson's Trump attacked the Secret Service in the limo. Which, by the way, you have to ask yourself, you can bring it back to me finally, Heather. You have to ask yourself about, speaking of like 1-6 and the 1-6 committee, why was Cassidy Hutchinson interviewed by the 1-6 committee, but not the limo driver?
Right.
And not the other Secret Service agent in the limousine, which both testified it never happened. But Cassidy Hutchinson was, and then the 1-6 committee deleted their investigative files.
Oops.
And then not only that, but the stuff that they didn't delete, and probably simultaneously while they were deleting, they were trying to keep their investigative materials and all of their materials sequestered for 66 years. Right now we don't really have the power to ask questions as far as criminally speaking, but we certainly have power now to ask questions in a judicial sense, in a congressional sense, but nobody's doing it. You're like, yeah, Tom, we've had the weaponization of government committee headed by James Comer, the Judiciary Committee headed by Jim Jordan. What have they done? And I like both those guys, but what have they done? Are they really trying to do something, or are they really doing a Democratic Party technique, which is to not try to solve the problem, but act like you are?
Yep.
So that people will say that at least they're trying. And here we are, years and years, $35 trillion in debt, and every single president says they're trying to lower the debt outside of Donald Trump. He never said it. Donald Trump just admitted this. I remember when he signed one of his budgets, he's like, I'll never do this again. This was an absolute disaster. Then COVID hit. But, you know, so the 1-6 committee, well, they try, again, they were just doing the Democratic Party technique, which is addressing a problem that they caused and act like they're trying to get to the bottom of it and solve it while never doing it, and then trying to suppress all the materials that show their malfeasance.
Yeah.
All right, let's go. Where am I at? Okay, got it. My Canada Proud, Heather?
Yep.
All right, good. I lose track. But anyway, Canada Proud video. Switch the subjects now. Got 1-6 done. Canada Proud video. Now, here we go. Again, with the same, I want to cover this with you. We are winning. Now, it sounds like when I go on a 1-6 diatribe like I just did, that we are losing. We have been losing, but we are now beginning to win. The United States as a republic is, in fact, dead, but it can be resurrected.
Yep.
But understand that right now it's dead. If we don't resurrect it, it's dead.
Yeah.
And it was, and it's going to rot. The corpse is going to rot. But we are winning. Things are starting to turn around. Now, there have been election losses around the globe, whether it's Ireland, Belgium, France, huge election losses. And the people who are winning, there is a what's called a mega movement going on. And that's Make Europe Great Again. That movement is going on by populist nationalists. And by the way, if you are like me, a populist nationalist, or what is called maybe a Christian nationalist, speak it boldly, proclaim it boldly. Aaron and I are Christian nationalists.
Yep.
We are Christian populist nationalists. We believe that America should be first. Aaron and Tom, you're racist. How am I a racist when that includes Black Americans, Asian Americans, White Americans, Brown Americans, and any other American you could possibly, all transgender Americans, all gay Americans, all of us Americans,
right,
first.
Yep.
Now, other countries are waking up, because once you make your own people second, your country's dead.
Yeah.
When you're allowed, well, you know, we in America right now, who's first? The super citizens are first. Who are the super citizens? Well, the ones that don't have to go through the gate at the airport.
Yep.
Aaron and I and Heather and everybody else, when we go through the airport, we have wands all over our bodies. We have to take our shoes off, go through the machine. They look at our naked bodies.
Ugh.
Everything else. It's got to be some pervs back there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there. I mean, you've seen some of these TSA employees.
Ugh.
But anyway, I digress. So, but they just walk right through. I mean, imagine now if Aaron or Heather or I, we went to Canada and tried to come back, we'd be arrested.
Yeah.
You can go through the southern border or even the northern border and be anything but American and get arrested. All you have to do is not be American and you won't get arrested at the southern border.
Yeah.
But if Aaron and I tried to go through the southern border without going through proper channels, we'll be arrested. We showed the video before where you have a couple hunters coming back with a alleged, who turned out not to be, illegal duck. And they get detained. But a guy can cross the border carrying 100 pounds of fentanyl and not be detained.
Right.
That's why that once you do this, your country's dead. Once your citizens mean nothing to you, your country's dead. But we are winning. Again, I digress for just a moment. Canada Proud video. I wanted to show this to you because this is why. This is why the left, or the global cabal, the globalist leftist cabal, is beginning to lose because of idiocy like this. This is MP, basically you call them MPs inside of parliamentary systems like Australia and like Canada and Israel. But they call them MPs in Australia and Canada and in Great Britain. These are basically congressional men or women. So this is MP Lauren Collins talking. You'll see it. It's a Sky News video. And you'll see why it is that everybody is beginning to turn against these people. Play for me, Heather.
Welcome to Outsiders, the show that is to woke virtue signaling and climate hysteria on steroids. What Canadian MP Laurel Collins is to putting scientific reason and rational thought above emotion.
I hope you'll forgive me if I get emotional. Climate emergencies are not gender neutral. The degradation of ecosystems disproportionately impacts women and girls. And I am wildly emotional. This is the existential crisis of our time.
Oh my goodness, climate change isn't just going to kill us all. It's also sexist and misogynist. I knew it.
To hear that we're asking for high ambition is climate hysteria, that makes me wildly emotional. Absolutely. You know, when I think about my womb, you know, the two children that I bore from that womb and what future we are leaving them, I am wildly emotional.
God. Please stop.
Clearly. So then what are the most rational, logical, and pragmatic steps we should take here?
I think that we need to think about the intersection of gender and the climate crisis. And I hope that the people around this table and the people listening will refrain from using language like climate hysteria. We are facing a climate emergency.
Climate hysteria, climate hysteria. You are a climate hysterical woman who needs, and normally I tell people to mix in a salad. She needs to eat something else but a salad. She's shriveling away. She can make her womb shrivel away. So understand, she says that Aaron is looking up intersectionality for me because I don't really know what that is, just so everybody knows. It's like I've had to look up various terms like binary and all those. I know what the word binary means, but how that affects a person's gender and all, you know, their gender binary and all that stuff. I had to look that those things up.
This is really confusing, by the way. Like, I'll give it to you. But,
go ahead, Aaron.
Oh,
give it
man.
To me. What do you got? Just put
all right,
yourself
so
on.
So it is... intersectionality is a sociological analytical framework for understanding how groups and individuals' social and political identities result in unique combinations of discrimination and privilege.
Again, I don't think it's meant to make any sense.
No.
Do you understand that at all?
No.
I really don't, except basically what it is excuse making for failure.
All right.
Here's the reason why I'm failing in life is because I'm gay, I'm trans, I'm black, I'm white, whatever it is, that's why I'm failing. But she says here, this Laurel Collins, who is a leader, she got voted in by people. That woman got voted in. Her and her womb got voted in. She says that climate change disproportionately affects women and girls. And climate change is not basically not gender neutral because it disproportionately affects women and girls. I would like to see that in writing. Explain to me, statistically speaking, how climate change, which doesn't exist, disproportionately affects women and girls. So how does a problem that does not exist actually adversely affect women and girls? I would love to see that. How? How does it do that? Because here in America, Richard Levine, who masquerades as Rachel Levine, says the other. Remember, that's the health official inside the Biden administration who is a ugly man masquerading as a fully penised ugly woman. I mean, stick with being a man. If you're an ugly man, you certainly are not going to be a pretty woman. But he says that blacks are disproportionately affected by climate change. So which one is it?
Right.
Is it women and girls are disproportionately affected or blacks are disproportionately affected? And I would love to see Richie explain how blacks, I mean, I just want to see it in writing. It's just like I want to see, since you say there's a climate change problem, define the problem. When does CO2 become a problem? It's 0.04% of the atmosphere. And humanity contributes to that 0.04%, 3%. Australia, of the 3%, contributes 1% of that 3%. Not one-third of it, 1% of the entire amount of human input into CO2 in the atmosphere. And this woman's crying about her womb. Get this, Australia, CO2 makes up 0.04% of the atmosphere. Of that, 3% is from human consumption, from human CO2 emittance,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So of that, so we'll just call that 3% is 100% of human CO2 transmissions, right? Of that 100%, Australia contributes 1% of it. And this woman's crying about her womb. You're like, how in the world did they pull off having everybody mask and 13 times vaccinated? I'm not exaggerating. That's a fact for immunocompromised people. They have to get 13 COVID-19 vaccinations. For the rest, for everybody else, 10. How did they pull that off, requiring everybody to stand 6 feet apart, close their businesses, lose their businesses, close their churches, lose their churches, lose their jobs, lose their houses, put masks on, switch to N95s, take 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 vaccinations for a 99.9% survival virus, that is not a problem. Because what they do is say something's a problem when it's not a problem at all, or create a problem that's still not a problem and address it as if it's a problem.
Yeah.
That's what they do. So CO2 emissions, number one, are not a problem, but they've been labeled a problem. It's just like Democrats like to label totalitarianism or authoritarianism, democracy, and attack you for being anti-democratic, for being anti-totalitarian.
Right.
So I just want to see it in paper. Oh, I want them to outline it to me in writing where CO2 becomes a problem, and in writing how CO2 emissions are disproportionate, how they disproportionately affect women and girls and blacks. So I guess the only people that are going to survive climate change are white people. Oh, I get one Asians.
White men. White men.
Right here. Yeah. White men. We're going to be the only ones to survive it.
Straight white men.
Exactly. Just keep everybody up, Aaron. You're right. Straight white men are the only ones who are going to survive.
Oh, no.
Climate change. And I guess because the second most discriminated against demographic is Asians. Because Asians are now hated by the left, too. And if you're a Jewish person and you vote for a Democrat, you're stupid. You're just an ignorant human being. All right, go to the next one for me. Terrible tweet. Anti-immigrant, I'm assuming it's Malachi, Stenson, just won the election in Dublin, Ireland. You need to understand how left-wing Ireland is. And basically, this is a Trumpster that just won in Ireland. Unheard of. Go to the next one for me. A disclosed TV tweet. Just in, right-wing AfD becomes second strongest party in Germany. Again, these are governments, they don't have Republicans and Democrats. They have multiple parties, and those parties come together and form like a government.
Yeah.
That's how it works. For the most part, different versions of it in different countries. Outperforming all three members of the ruling left green liberal coalition in EU elections. Unheard of, folks. Things are turning around for us. And a lot of times, if they're winning in Europe, that means Trump's going to win. Brexit happened right before Trump was elected president. Trump will be elected president in a landslide victory, and I'm still sticking with it that he won't be running against Joe Biden. I still believe they're going to replace Joe Biden. All right, am I Liz Churchill? Heather, is that where I'm at? All right, globalist Belgium prime minister. So far we've got Germany and Ireland so far, and I showed you craziness out of Australia. But the two wins in Germany and Ireland. Now Belgium. These are all left-tard countries. Globalist Belgian Prime Minister Alexander De Croo resigns in tears after suffering landslide defeat. So here you have World Economic Forum sycophant and acolyte Prime Minister Alexander De Croo resigns in tears after suffering landslide defeat. Let's bathe in their tears. Play it for me. Have you noticed that every single one of these guys is a little cuck boy? I mean, look, they all look like this. They're all a bunch of little cuck boys who are scared to death of their wives and their kids. And they rule the world. Scared to death. Would you think, like, if you were being attacked, that's why we Aaron and I and Heather, we've shown a million of these videos, mainly in the post game. Stick around for the post game. Of people being attacked inside of Europe, and nobody comes to their aid.
Yeah.
You have 6, 7, 8 fully penis men who aren't dressing up as women standing around watching a woman be dragged into an alley by an asylum seeker.
Yeah.
And nobody does the freaking things because they're all guys like this. They're little worms, a little spineless cuck boy cowards. That's a new thing. CBC. They're CBCs, cuck boy cowards. That's what they actually are. And they rule the world. This is a This is a globalist, Belgium globalist, and he just got trounced in the election by a Belgian-style Trumpster. All right, go to the next one for me, Heather. Eva, I'm going to try Eva's name. This, she's an absolute hero, by the way. You need to watch her stuff and subscribe to her stuff. Eva Vlaardinger Baddick. Broek. I'm not even... Eva tweet. Seeing Macron be so utterly crushed that he's forced to dissolve the parliament because he got absolutely trounced in their election. Or, I mean, however they do them inside of France. I don't fully understand it, just to be transparent. He's forced to dissolve the parliament and has to call for snap elections is by far the best news of the day. I don't know how it works. Le Pen's party set to beat Macron's in EU elections. It's not Macron being defeated personally. It's his party being defeated in other elections. And then he has to form a new government.
Yeah.
That's the best that I can put it together for you. I'll try to become more educated on it. But again, I knew about American politics prior to 4 years of 15 days to flatten the curve ago, but I didn't look into much when it comes to Europe. I've just now started. Amazing to see that tyrant finally be put in his place. Beautiful, just beautiful. Even, listen, I could show you right now hours of videos, and most of you already know this, of what Paris looks like right now. Paris right now is an absolute third world country. It looks like downtown Beirut.
Yeah.
Downtown. How they're gonna pull off, like I watch, as I've told you before, international bicycle racing. I don't know how they pull off the Tour de France with it finishing in Paris. They must have to. Oh, I know what they do. They do just like Gavin Newsom did in San Francisco.
Exactly.
Where they clean when you have Xi Jinping show up. Not when you show up. Not when I show up. Or when Aaron shows up. Or Heather shows up. No. When Xi Jinping, who's killed at least a couple million people.
Yeah.
When he shows up, you clean off all the vagrants, all the feces, all the needles off the streets, make it a crime-free zone. I mean, literally, make sure no crime occurs at all. Where in San Francisco right now, you can steal $900 worth of goods and not be charged with a felony or even stopped for theft. But when Xi Jinping's there, you make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Not for you. Not for you Democrats either. Not for you. It's always amazing to me that Democrats vote for these people as if your compliance to their policies will spare you the repercussions to those policies.
Right.
Like you're not going to be a victim of a crime because you voted for the people that are ushering in the crime. But that's what's actually happening in Europe. Bongino talks about all the time. Is it bad enough yet? In Europe, it's gotten bad enough. People are tired of having a rape rate that they've never seen before in their countries, of a theft rate they've never seen. White knife wielding, machete wielding asylum seekers on their streets. They're tired of it. And again, like I told you, I want you to see this. These are Macron supporters. This again is another Eva video, I guess, right?
Yeah.
I put that on tweet video. Look at how they're all the same type of people. Tom, you shouldn't talk like that. I'll talk like that all I want. I didn't say race. I didn't say that.
Yeah.
I said they're all just the same type of people. They're all a bunch of cuck boys, either female cuck boys or male cuck boys. They're all cuck boys that live underneath the protection of the things they despise.
Yeah.
It's like all the leftists in America have always hated the military. But they live under the wing of the protection of the military. They live under the protection of the thing they despise and that they want destroyed and then will cry about it when it doesn't protect them. Like Nancy Pelosi on 1/6. Why weren't they here? Because I'm responsible for not bringing them here. Tom, that makes no sense. That's what she said. So here's Macron supporters. Just look at these people that are crying after they find out that his party has been crushed in the election. Play for me.
À l'article 12 de notre loi, j'ai décidé de vous redonner le choix de notre parlementaire. Je dissous donc.
Aaron, I'll spare you. Just do side by side. Just side by side. Look at how they're all the same people. I mean, look at these people. When Aaron puts up, look at this. That's a guy wearing makeup, voting for Macron. It's just like if you support Ukraine, you support if you. What I mean by that is if you support the war in Ukraine, not the people of Ukraine, support the people of Ukraine. Really, what we call the global Lao Beijing, which is all of us, the proletariat, we support us. All right, we support us, but not the warmongers. And again, I won't digress too far into this, but you need to look at every world war and how it started and how it doesn't benefit us ever. It just benefits the military-industrial complex, complex and the fascist mergings around the world of corporatism and governments. But you just look at these, like with Ukraine, who was their military spokesman? A transgender American. So again, you love the world, Slava Ukraine, and Ukraine's going to win after they've already lost 500,000 soldiers so far. Russia's basically lost nothing. So again, it's just it all comes down to what I've told you before, is if you love one, you love the other. That's just the way that is. No man can serve two masters. For either you hate one and love the other, or else you hold the one and despise the other, ye cannot serve God and mammon. Jesus talking, Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. You choose, you're all in. That's why all of these Christians who loved masking will end up loving CO2 mitigations. It's all the same crowd. And by the way, this looks like a lot of church crowds right here. In America, right here. We want you to feel comfortable in your makeup as a full-grown penis male. But oh, go, Aaron.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, it's not a very diverse crowd. It's a bunch of white men that all look gay.
Oh, man,
yeah,
look at that.
They all look gay.
That's true, and they're all for Macron.
Yeah.
And that means they're all for masking, globalism, the climate change hoax, making sure that your CO2 emissions are regulated. And that they would all love it if the bird flu becomes a global pandemic. They would all love it. They would all love it.
Yeah, but I thought, you know, diversity was our strength. It's not very diverse.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing I forgot earlier.
Yeah.
I want that demonstrated on paper. Yeah. Show me how when our military, the head of our military right now, is saying people like this, serving in our military makes us stronger. How? I want you just to demonstrate that. Prove that to me. I want you to put it on paper. How does diversity make any organization stronger? Just please tell me. I want you to explain it. Nobody ever can. Just like they can't explain what a woman is. They can't explain what an assault weapon is. They can't explain what problematic CO2 is. Nothing. All right, let's go to the next one. End wokeness tweet. The people of France are waking up. Percentage of EU seats won by National Rally, formerly called National Front, which is like their mega, make Europe great again party. Here's their percentages. Back in 1999, 5.7%. Yesterday, 31%.
Wow.
Kind of a big increase. We are winning. We're dead, but we're resuscitating. And we are resurrecting. All right, go to the next one for me, Heather. And wokeness. I put this one in for Aaron Yeager, my producer. Because we were wondering, how in the world did Macron end up with this person?
Thing.
Yeah, thing. We're like, if you saw the video of him, of Macron walking into the Normandy, I don't want to call them, they're not celebrations, ceremonies.
Memorial. Yeah.
Memorials, thank you, Aaron. The Normandy memorial ceremonies that they were doing. This woman comes in, she's got this really weird hair. It's like covering everything, but she's walking in like this. And I'm like, that woman is weird looking. Well, you know why she's weird looking? She's weird. That's why. I mean, life really is easy.
Yeah.
And wokeness tweet. French President Macron was, this sounds very similar to Joseph Robinette Biden. Just, let's see. Biden was the old one and Jill was the young one. So it's just reversed.
Yeah.
You know, because everyone thinks that they met on this blind date. That's all completely wrong. How can you have a blind date with somebody you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's all wrong. It's during an adulterous affair, of which during that adulterous affair, Joe Biden wrecked Jill Biden's husband's Corvette. Now, Stingray 67. That's one of his fake names that he used on governmental emails. I digress. Stingray 67. I wonder if that's in celebration of Jill's husband's Corvette that he destroyed. Just curious.
Same car.
You're like, what was that?
Yeah, same car.
Yeah, maybe he got it. Maybe he kept it and put it in the garage. For Hunter to drive around in with Ukrainian horse. But anyway, and fentanyl or cocaine.
Yeah.
So it's just, yeah, everyone, all these lies just need to be exposed. The whole Jill Jill and Joe fairy tale is exactly that. It's a fairy tale. They committed adultery with one another and destroyed. Joe Biden is a homewrecker. That's who he is.
Yeah.
I could talk 30 minutes on Joe Biden. I really could. I've got many other things that are on my mind with it, but I don't want to spend too much time on it. But French President Macron was 16 years old when he met his wife. She was, at the time, 40 and married.
Mm.
So just what? Let's see, 24 years apart. I get that math right? Yeah, 24 years apart. Her son, while Macron was 16, her son was 3 years older than Macron.
Ugh.
So at the time, she had a 19-year-old son. You need to watch Four Christmases, and you'll get this. Vince Vaughn, part of it. It's my favorite part of the movie. Seriously, watch it. When he goes to have Christmas at his mom's house.
Great movie.
His mom, who was living with his childhood best friend.
Yeah.
Who is now treating him like his stepson. Yeah. Watch the movie.
It's good.
Great. I should have told Aaron. I should have thought of it. We could have run it in here. If Facebook would kick us off for a copyright infringement, but who gives two craps about Facebook?
Yeah.
Bridget, that's her name, groomed Macron as a young kid, divorced her husband, and married him.
Ugh.
That's if you're ever wondering who these people are, you're wondering, like, is Mike Obama Mike or Michelle? I mean, we'll all find out when we get to heaven, but... I mean, yeah, Heather just chimed in. They won't be there, but we'll know the truth.
Yeah.
We'll know the truth. All right, let's move on to COVID and vaccines. They're all going to try to pull keep in mind as you're watching everything about COVID, the reason why I'm showing them to you is for many, many different, I have many different reasons for doing, many different motivations. But one of those motivations is for you to keep in mind the entire time you're watching these videos that they're coming again. And then they're trying to do it with bird flu, where they're going to attack our food first, they're going to try to make us dependent on the government for food, and so that it becomes transmissible to human beings. And again, I digress. But we need to remember this: bird flu that we're seeing was created in Georgia by the USDA.
Yeah,
that's a fact.
Yep.
Gain of function research done again by the USDA in Georgia, the USDA laboratory in Georgia. I can't remember the city in Georgia. Watch Peter McCullough. He will tell you. But this is a result of gain-of-function research where they have made bird flu transmissible to bovine. And it's being transported around the globe by ducks. And now by chickens, of course. Because they want to destroy our food supply and make us dependent upon lab-grown meat of the government. Yes, that's an end result. It won't be lab-grown meat immediately, but that's where they want to go. That's the end game, is for the government to create the food and control who can get the food then. If the government is the only one making the food, producing the food, and disseminating the food, then they control who gets the food. If you're in charge of... Yeah, leave that up for me just for a second, Aaron. I'm seeing stuff that you guys aren't seeing to my left. But that's the goal of everything that you're seeing, whether it's CO2 emissions, what they call climate change, and vaccine passports, pandemics. It's all to leverage you into a one-world commerce system with a singular access point to all commerce controlled by them. If they control all travel, then you have to abide by their rules to be able to travel. If they control all food, then you have to abide by their rules and vote for the right person who will continue on these totalitarian measures. That's you'll be forced to vote in endless totalitarianism, or you won't be able to buy, sell, trade, or travel. It's the USDA laboratory in Athens, Georgia. Thank you, Aaron. That's who created the current bird flu. So when I'm showing you things from COVID, understand I'm showing it to you. One of my motivations is for you to keep in mind that here comes the bird flu. And most of you have already seen the headlines where Bloomberg put out that a man died in Mexico of the bird flu. Turns out that he was tested post-mortem after he died with what kind of test? Can we all guess? That would be a PCR test.
Shocker.
That are 97% false positives, because you're not supposed to use them to diagnose viral infections, because basically a PCR test will tell you that you're positive for a virus that you had 31 years ago. Because they spin it up. They spin up the meter so high on that that it'll test everybody, it'll make everybody have a positive test. That's why Carrie Mullis, Nobel Prize winning developer and developer of PCR testing, he said, do not use it to diagnose viral infections because it will automatically tell you that you've had that viral infection if you ever came into contact with it, which doesn't mean coming into contact doesn't mean you're infected or you're infected with it 30 years prior.
Mm-hmm.
Because they gin it up when it's supposed to spin 32 times, they make it spin 42 times so that everybody is positive for the infection that they set the PCR test to diagnose, to find. That's the point of it all. But it's 97% false positives. So I just, when I show you these videos about COVID, I want you to understand, I'm doing it, one of my motivations is so that you see the next wave coming. Back to that guy real quick in Mexico. So they said they tested positive for bird flu, but now it's to come out definitively by the Mexican government that he did not die of bird flu. He was really somebody who had multiple other conditions, multiple other ones, and he died of those other illnesses.
Mm-hmm.
He did not die of the bird flu. But again, even if a PCR test says that you have bird flu after he's dead, this is how we ended up in the United States with people having their head cut off in a motorcycle accident, and they were put down as a COVID death. That's a fact, by the way. In Florida, a man who died of lightning strike was put down, and this is all facts, by the way, of dying of COVID. But these people have, in this case here, he had multiple other mitigating factors, multiple other mitigations going on in his life. I mean, he had multiple other illnesses going on. So that never happened, just so you know. And that's now come out that it was all fake. It was completely fake. But of course, it was run in leftard Bloomberg as a bird flu death. They're trying. They tried with monkeypox. They tried with COVID last October 2023. They tried it again there. And they're going to try it with bird flu over and over and over again till it finally gets momentum. That's what they're going to try to do. They've got at least 30 to 40% of the population who wants to wear masks because they think that they're saving lives by wearing masks and it gives them some sort of meaning and cause in life. But the Vigilant Fox video, ex-CDC director, dropped stunning COVID admissions. And here we go. Now, I'll talk more about this at the end. Robert Redfield is now trying to cover his tracks. You're like, oh, he's always seemed like a decent guy. Seeming like a decent guy now needs to be strained out.
Yeah.
Of like, you know what? That means nothing. Because these people are practiced pathological liars. All for self-preservation. All for self-promotion. All for self-aggrandizement and actually financial profit. So here he is. Robert Redfield drops stunning COVID admissions to the one and only Chris Cuomo, who's also another rat leaving the ship. Play for me, Heather.
The ex-CDC director has dropped some stunning COVID admissions, and finally someone in a position of authority is saying all of this out loud. Dr. Robert Redfield, the former CDC director under the Trump administration, says there was a huge influence by the pharmaceutical industry to get everyone injected. Dr. Redfield wanted to prioritize shots for the elderly, but that's not what happened. What's also disturbing is that when the Biden administration came in, the CDC stopped tracking people that were infected that were previously vaccinated. Former CNN anchor Chris Cuomo asked Dr. Redfield why the health agency would do such a thing. Dr. Redfield's response was eye-opening. Let's take a listen.
Birx and I felt that these vaccines really ought to be prioritized for nursing homes, prioritized for assisted living, prioritized for the elderly over 60, 65. And yet, you know, that's not what happened. There was this, you know, if, you know, everyone had to get vaccinated.
Was it because of Big Pharma?
Yeah, I think there definitely was a huge influence by the pharmaceutical industry, Pfizer and Moderna. I think you did, you know, you pointed out that there was a big push. I mean, I was upset with CDC when I left because they stopped tracking people that were infected that were previously vaccinated. So if you didn't track it, well, because then you couldn't report that there were people vaccinated and got infected.
But no, wait, why did they stop tracking it?
But I think there was a decision not to do anything that made the vaccine sound like it didn't work.
Oh, and Chris Cuomo just stunned there, apparently.
So there you go. Now, let's go backwards to forwards as usual here. Now, after this video, he goes on to lie. Like, I like that he's making these admittances. And by the way, what I was talking about earlier, where I kept using the word mitigation, Aaron, I was trying to think of the word, it's comorbidities.
Yeah.
So substitute that when on my previous segment there. Comorbidities, people with comorbidities, they are, you know, basically other contributing factors to their death, other contributing illnesses. We heard comorbidities a million times because the people who died of COVID, the average age of death of COVID in the United States was 82. Now it went up. 82, which you're better off getting COVID because the average age of death in America is 77. So you'll live 5 years longer if you get COVID. But that's a fact, by the way, for everybody. Well, I can't wait to wear a mask again. For all the COVID-caving Christians, congratulations on your galactic ignorance and stupidity. But basically, the only people who died of COVID were 70-something percent or 80% were obese. And the average age of death is 82, so you have those comorbidities, those contributing factors, or actual other illnesses. Mm-hmm. Again, we have this out of the health director from the state of Minnesota. She came out and said, and she was like, it was amazing because she came out and was just very relaxed about it, very like non-conflicted about it. She was like, well, this is how we're doing it. It's basically anybody who tests positive for COVID. She actually used the example. Somebody's in hospice with terminal cancer with 4 weeks to 4 weeks to live, and they die, and they test positive for COVID. They will be put down as a COVID death. She actually said, I have the video. I've played it 1,000 times on this on the podcast. So Redfield, he goes on to lie, Robert Redfield. He goes on to lie afterwards talking about the vaccine, saying that he's like, hey, you know, it's great. The vaccine never should have been mandated at all to anybody. And it was ridiculous to mandate it to people who are healthy because the average age of death was 82 with multiple comorbidities. Remember, the survival rate for anybody over the age of 85 was 95% for COVID.
Right.
And basically, because Americans believe wrong, everybody over the age, which I don't have time to get into right now, you need to read your Bible, they believe wrong about aging and sickness and everything else. But basically, everybody over the age of 85 in America has a comorbidity or multiple comorbidities. So those are the people that were dying of COVID, just like they would have died anyway.
Yep.
That year. But he goes on to lie after this about the vaccine, saying that the vaccines should have only been given because they offer immunity. They don't offer any immunity at all.
Nope.
Even, and this is a man, again, who either was supposed to read the studies, the vaccine, not the studies, the vaccine developmental data coming out of Pfizer or Moderna, who's partners with the NIH, which is fascism. And he says that he was mad when he left the CDC. You were the CDC. You could have stayed and fixed the CDC, right. But you didn't because you didn't want to deal with the personal, professional ramifications of fixing the CDC.
Yeah.
Didn't want to do it because you're a cuckboy coward, CBC. So, but he goes on to lie. And he's like, Tom, you've said that 500 times. I know, I keep digressing. But he says that the vaccine only should have been given to the elderly, the ones who have died the most from the vaccines. And by the way, congratulations, I want Heather to know, I want Aaron to know, and myself to know, we're the ones in studio, that a new number has come out from the Society of Actuaries now, including, I've been wrong about, and again, I'm digressing, I will get back to Redfield. I've been wrong about my excess death numbers.
Oh boy.
I've been wrong.
Oh boy, here we go.
Yeah, Aaron's like, here comes the hurricane.
Yeah.
I've been wrong. I thought that the excess death numbers, which are 23 million excess people have died since the vaccine rollout. Remember, we've shown you the slides. There were no excess deaths in 2020.
Yep.
None. Like, that's impossible. None. What about the refrigerator trucks? Nobody's in the refrigerator trucks. Nobody was in the Army Corps of Engineer hospitals. Nobody was in the ERs. Nobody. That's why all the nurses had time to do their coordinated dances. So, the new numbers have come out from the Society of Actuaries. That must be a right wing pundit site. That must be a right wing social media site. You know, like InfoWars or Bannon or Bongino. No, the Society of Actuaries, as those of you who watch this podcast know, those of you who are watching, you know what this is already. But Society of Actuaries is basically the Society of Life Insurance Companies, which are all leftards.
Yeah.
But they have to acknowledge their true numbers or they'll be guilty of felonious fraud. So the true numbers have come out and I have been wrong about the numbers because I told you there was 23 million excess deaths in 21, 22, and 23 combined.
Oh, no.
I was wrong.
Oh, no.
23 was left out. So now the new number's about, and it's 30 million excess deaths.
Wow.
30 million extra people have died over the last 3 years. I thought it was 23 million. It's 30 million from the Society of Actuaries. Oh, my God. 30 million unexpected deaths. None during COVID, only after the COVID, now I'll properly use the term, only after the COVID mitigations. And not even during the regular lockdown mitigations, mask mitigations, 6 feet mitigations, all that crap, alcohol gel mitigations. Nobody died during those. They all died starting suspiciously in 21. And the vaccine was rolled out in late November, early December of 2020. And everybody started to die, including 1,223 people that died during the vaccine trials from Pfizer, including the 28, that doesn't include the 28 out of 32 women who miscarried during the Pfizer vaccine trials, of which that was called a vaccine side effect that fixed itself.
Yeah.
That's actually how, and by the way, Redfield either knew that or should have known that.
Right.
He either knew or should have known that 28 out of 32 women in the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine trial miscarried, spontaneously aborted their children, and that was called a vaccine side effect that resolved itself. So it was called a vaccine side effect that meant nothing because it simply resolved itself.
Mm-hmm.
Like an ache in the arm that went away. I'm not kidding you. That's exactly what they did. And Redfield, who's now claiming to be or putting on the front of being a white hat, knew or should have known that because he should have been reading the vaccine developmental data of the vaccine that he was pimping and whoring to 300 plus million Americans and globally. Right? He goes on to lie and says that the vaccine was great because it did offer immunity to the most vulnerable. It didn't offer any immunity to the most vulnerable. It was most apt to kill off the most vulnerable, 30 million excess deaths.
Yeah.
The majority of those excess deaths are the elderly. And this idiot comes out and says that it was beneficial for the elderly. Even in the vaccine developmental data, which Pfizer was covering and lying in that data, they said that it didn't stop transmission and infection. We got that. And that its efficacy, its effectiveness for stopping anybody from getting COVID, which it never stopped them from getting COVID. Again, it says that its efficacy would last 1 day to 1 week in their vaccine developmental data. And Redfield, to this day, is saying that it was beneficial for the elderly to take it, but it never should have been mandated to anybody. He's right about it never should have been mandated to anybody, but wrong completely and totally about who it benefited because it benefited no one and hurt either hurt or potentially hurt every single person that took it. And he was asked by Cuomo there, leave that up, Aaron, I want that next.
Yep.
Right as soon as I get done, I got two more points on this. He was asked by Cuomo, who Cuomo is fraudulently acting red-pilled, or maybe, you always hope. You always hope somebody will actually be red-pilled. Was it Big Pharma? Well, considering that Big Pharma was partners with the NIH and the NIAID and were sharing royalties, and I'm trying to remember the exact number. I believe it was a billion. Sharing $1 billion of royalties with Anthony Fauci and the researchers at the NIH that were benefiting off of the development and the mandating of this vaccine, or the pushing and the propagandizing of this vaccine. They were all personally profiting from it, as well as 75 members of Congress who owned Pfizer stock and then mandated the vaccine that it would financially benefit them to mandate. So was it Big Pharma? Yeah, it was Big Pharma in collaboration with the NIH, Moderna, Congress, the NIAID, and CDC. Because obviously, if you're pharma, you want this mandated, because instead of people being able to choose it and you get a few hundred million doses, you get it mandated, you get billions of doses, which is exactly what happened. Nobody forced you to take it, is what they'll say. You just lose your job and starve to death if you don't take it. But nobody forced you to take it.
Of course.
You just lose your family business that's been in your family for 100 years. You'll lose that. But nobody forced you to take it. Don't worry. We're going to give you a $600 a month check. And you're in the business that you closed down, that you're still having to make the lease payment of $15,000 a month for. You know, but don't worry. Even though you're losing your business, we're giving you $600 a month. And you're losing your home. It's being foreclosed on right now because the business that you can't pay for is paying for your mortgage, so you lose on everything.
Yeah.
Hey, let me do 60 seconds worth of Midas Gold real quick, and Aaron, then I want those slides that you got up for me.
Yep.
Midas Gold Group, my one and only sponsor. You can probably tell why. The reason why they're willing to is they're not worried about societal ramifications. They're not worried about societal repercussions of being MAGA. This isn't a conservative company. This isn't a establishment Republican company. This isn't a McConnell Graham company. This is a Trump company. This is a MAGA company who will boldly proclaim that the 2020 election was stolen. Oh, you'll be called a conspiracy theorist. It's still the truth. It's not a theory. It's actually a conspiracy, and you are illuminating the conspiracy. That's the kind of company this is. And with what's going on around the globe right now, and I know I say this to you all the time, but I really believe this. What's going on around, I don't believe it. What I'm telling you is absolutely, is bold-faced facts.
Yeah.
Is that the globe, the globalist, and included in the globalist would be the Biden administration, are trying to de-dollarize the globe and devalue the USD. And while they're all doing that, whether it's the BRICS movement, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, while they are trying to de-dollarize the globe and devalue the USD, they are buying literally hundreds of tons of gold. The United States is keeping hundreds of tons of gold, thousands of tons of gold. Why would they do that? Because if they succeed, which they won't, because Trump's going to win in 2025, or in 2024, and then become president in 2025. Because if they succeed in de-dollarizing the globe, making the dollar useless and valueless, they're holding on to, they are keeping all of that gold in place because that will be the new currency. So all of us need to be buying gold. We need to be buying gold and putting it in our safes, because no matter what, gold is currency, even to the people who are trying to destroy currency. If the people who are trying to destroy currency succeed, then gold, because they are the ones that are hoarding gold, gold becomes the currency. So we all need to be backstopping our finances with gold. Buy gold. Buy it from a company that does not hate you. Buy it from a company who actually loves you. And with Midas Gold, all of that gold is physical gold in your hands, not phantom gold accounts, physical gold in your hands. You buy it, it's in your hands, you put it in your safe. Buy gold, buy it from Midas, and when you do, tell them that the TLP sent you. All right, Aaron, put up your slides for me. I want to show this to you because, again, I'm telling you all of this in light of the fact they're going to try to pull COVID again instead of COVID-19 or SARS-CoV-2, it's going to be, Aaron, go to the next slide for me real quick. It's going H5N1. Now go back to your original one, because H5N1 is the bird flu. H5N1. Eventually I'll have that memorized. Don't have it memorized yet. So that's going to be the next thing. So here's the thing. And I told you that it was developed in the USDA lab. The current version of bird flu was developed by the federal government, just like COVID-19. And by the way, it's being proven more and more that COVID-19 was actually made at the UNC laboratories by Ralph Baric, who then taught the Bat Lady, Doctor. I'm trying to remember. Is it G? I can't remember.
Yeah,
Aaron, G. Look up Bat Lady for
yep,
me.
Yep, it's G.
Is it G?
Yep.
Dr. G, you getting that from me, or do you know that for sure?
I know that for sure.
You know for sure. Okay, because he's heard me say it. And if I got something wrong for a while, because I get, just being honest, I get Lee and G wrong. I mess those things, those names up wrong a lot. But anyway, so Ralph Baric, somehow, now if it was developed and you have UNC in partnership with Wuhan Institute of Virology and the Chinese Academy of Sciences, they're in partnership with one another, so much so that Ralph Baric was teaching the Bat Lady how to hide gain-of-function research evidence. So when they look at your gain-of-function research cells or viruses or bacteria under a microscope, nobody will be able to tell that you actually did gain-of-function research on. Why would you be teaching your ideological, geopolitical, and military opponent that, unless you have a globalist ideology, that you're not a state that will be threatened by another state because you're all globalist states?
Yeah.
You know, again, I don't want to digress too far into this, but imagine us during, for those of you that were raised during the Cold War, collaborating with Leonid Brezhnev or Stalin.
Yeah.
Imagine that you go and you have a joint laboratory with the Soviet Union. That's what we have right now. And it's still going on.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks because Peter Daszak was defunded, he's defunded. EcoHealth Alliance was defunded. But I guarantee you money is still going to the Wuhan Institute of Virology, and Republicans know it.
Oh, yeah.
But they got Ralph Baric. I mean, they got, but not Ralph Baric. They got Peter Daszak.
Yeah.
So we defunded EcoHealth Alliance, but the money will just go another way. It's just like the border. You know, we're closing the border. We're only officially allowing in 2,500 a day, but we're unofficially allowing in 12,500 through other entry points. But officially, we can say we solved the problem. Officially, we can say we stopped funding gain-of-function research through the EcoHealth Alliance, but we're going to fund it through the Alliance of EcoHealth.
Right, exactly.
That's how the government works. They solve no problems. They put out an illusion of trying to solve problems most often that they caused. But this is what Aaron sent me now. The bulk of the USDA research, the gain-of-function research into H5N1, in vivo challenge work is what it's called, is conducted at the U.S. National Poultry Research Center. That's weird, isn't it? And now we have a poultry bird flu that's become transmissible to bovine. Southeast Poultry Research Laboratory, SEPRL, facility in Athens, Georgia. Here comes this strange part right here. The Chinese Academy of Sciences, which is the Wuhan Chinese Academy of Sciences, owns the Wuhan Institute of Virology, both funded by millions of dollars by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
Yep.
Performs in vivo and in vitro fitness measurements for the project. Go to the next one. Dr. Derek Kapczynski, senior scientist at the USDA, is the heart of this project. He's been working on bird flu, H5N1, since 2008, purportedly helping to develop vaccines.
Oh.
Keep this up for me.
Yeah.
I'll read the last part, and then I'll talk. A few months after the start of the gain-of-function attempt, a new... This is strange.
Wow.
A few months after the start of this gain-of-function attempt, a new H5N1 virus, clade, it's called 2344B, appeared in wild birds in the U.S., leading to the current outbreaks. Weird! As soon as they started the gain-of-function research, the bird flu outbreak began.
Huh.
That sounds strangely familiar, doesn't it? So you get, and again, there's multiple angles to some sort of object that has an inordinate amount or an innumerable amount of angles. a shape with no limit of angles. One of those would be, so you're a pharmaceutical company. What do you want? A problem that you need to solve.
Exactly.
So you're Moderna and you partner with the, you've been partnered for decades with the, or years, I should say, I don't know about decades, but for years, you've been in partnership with NIAID and NIH. So it'd be very beneficial for your company to have a coronavirus outbreak or a viral outbreak so that you can develop a vaccine to solve it. But they don't wait for that. They create the outbreak and already have the vaccines in development. So they are creating, again, as always, the global, the leftist, globalist, bourgeois, elitist narrative and agenda, create the problem and then offer your totalitarian solution. So you're thinking the greatest benefit for me, and again, you can, it's not just the pharmaceutical companies. It's, you know, Event 201, it's the globalist, totalitarian, authoritarians trying to leverage you into that one world commerce system with a singular access point to all commerce controlled by them. They need some way to do that, get to that place. So you're sitting there, well, we need a problem. So you're sitting there and you are actually creating the problem that you want to solve. But they don't even want to solve it. And again, there's so many angles, it's impossible to talk about it and not to just spend 3 hours, which I'm fine doing, but I don't have the time, going into a wormhole on it. But yeah. So you're sitting there and you have the Wuhan Institute of Virology in collaboration with the USDA, just like the Wuhan Institute of Virology in collaboration with Ralph Baric and UNC, the Wuhan Institute of Virology in collaboration with the NIH via Peter Daszak and the EcoHealth Alliance, the Wuhan Institute of Virology in collaboration with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which works with Gavi, the Vaccine Alliance, to develop worldwide vaccines that paralyze people and kill people because they want to lower the risk of population. Again, so many angles to a shape that has innumerable amount of angles. But it's all one agenda. There's a lot of different tactics, but it's one agenda, which again is to leverage you into that one world commerce system controlled by them. But so you're sitting there and you are like, you are a pharmaceutical company and you need a problem that is, and again, I'm going to pull back. They're not solving it. You need a problem that you can address because they're certainly not going to solve it using mRNA gain of function vaccinations. Am I an hour and 17 minutes in the show here?
Yeah.
Holy mackerel. Wow. I can't go. I'm actually going to go a little shorter than normal tonight. So I'm going to have to cut this off in a minute, but. But I'm in the middle of this. I'm in the middle of the vaccine portion of it, and I have so many other things to get with you. Make sure you're with me this week. I have so many angles to cover this week, and not exclusively on COVID and vaccines. But anyway, so just think about how insidious it is that you need a problem to address to make money, and that comes down to. Russell Brand on Bill Maher, and he was talking about whenever governments, they get powers that they never give back under emergency powers.
Yeah.
So if you're a government that gains power by declaring an emergency, then what are you going to perpetually declare?
Yeah.
You're going to create an emergency so that you gain power.
Yeah.
And one last thing that Redfield said there, is he said that they stop tracking post-vaccine COVID infections. That's why he was mad at the CDC, because the CDC stopped tracking post-vaccination infections, people infected with COVID-19 after vaccination. He said this is the person who was running the CDC. Now, why did you allow them to stop it? That's what I'm saying. Cuckboy cowards, CBCs. Why, you're in charge of the CDC. Why didn't you make them continue to track post-vaccine COVID infections? Why didn't you make them continue to track them?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't you? But again, so but back to the facts. He's mad at the CDC because they stopped tracking it. Cuomo's like, well, why did they stop tracking it? Why do you think, Chris? They did it because they wanted, for a couple reasons. First of all, so they could still claim that the vaccine was effective. Now, if you want to, again, It goes, it's the same thing as the border. It's the same thing as any problem that they say they're addressing. They're not really trying to solve their problem. They're putting out an illusion that they're addressing the problem. So they're sitting there saying, you know, they just stop. They stop. They want these vaccines to appear to be effective so that they appear to be dealing with COVID. And they don't even care about COVID at all because, again, that's just a tactic for their globalist agenda. And again, it's just too deep to even get into. Let's just surf on the cursory, okay? So you're sitting there and they stop tracking it. So all the illusions of this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. And when Rochelle Walensky, who took Redfield's spot at the CDC, when she was pretty much forced out because she knows she's going to be criminally prosecuted or should be criminally prosecuted, she came out and said, well, all the time while they were claiming, think about how the level of dishonesty you have to be living at, have to be living in, the level of a lack of even self-respect and human dignity you have to be living in, where you did this for years. I mean, years. I lie and I feel like crap and have to get it right immediately.
Yeah.
I sin, I feel like crap, and I have to get it right immediately. These people live in this for years. Redfield is just talking now. Where was he in 23?
Right.
22, 21, when he was running the CDC in 2020. Where was he? He knew masking didn't stop a viral infection. But they stopped tracking. See, all these people were saying, this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated, quote, and the hospitals are full of the unvaccinated with COVID. Rochelle Walensky, in her departing testimony on Capitol Hill under oath, that's why we have to get all these people under oath, because the only way to get them to tell the truth, or hopefully get them to tell the truth, or you have any shot of getting them to tell the truth, is under criminal penalties. She said that we never knew who was vaccinated or unvaccinated in the hospital. There were no tests. There's still no tests to tell whether somebody's vaccinated or unvaccinated. You'd have to go into their body and see if they're producing S-spike protein by the trillions to see if they're vaccinated or not. And if they're dead, they're probably vaccinated out of the 30 million excess deaths now that we know about. Yes, 30 million. So they were never tracking vaccinated people post-vaccination. They were never tracking them to see, because what happened was vaccinated people were starting to get COVID. So right when they started to get COVID, the CDC stopped tracking it because it would attack the viability of the vaccination. Why would you care? I mean, you have to ask yourself this. If you are really trying to save people's lives, if you're really trying to save people's lives, and what you're saying is saving their lives is not saving their lives, and your motivation was to save their lives, why wouldn't you come out with the truth about the mitigation?
Right.
Why wouldn't you come out about and say, okay, what we thought was saving your life is not, so stop taking it because it's not saving your life. It's not helping at all. Matter of fact, they would never admit it because it's the same motivation, but they would never admit it that it's actually hurting you. But so there was all that it was to try to maintain a political propagandist facade of vaccine viability. And the vaccine wasn't working at all. So when they found out it wasn't working at all, they stopped tracking it, just like at the border. As soon as they get to 2,500, we only let in 2,500 officially. Then they stop tracking them. The crime rate is way down. Yeah, after they stop turning in the criminal statistical data from 44% of all police agencies. That's how Biden is claiming that crime is down. Crime is down because 44% of the crime is no longer being reported.
Yeah.
And there's only a 7% drop in crime, just so you know. Think about that in your mind. 44% of all crime is no longer being reported to the FBI, UCR, Uniform Crime Report. 44%. New York doesn't report. Chicago doesn't report. LA doesn't report. And Miami doesn't report. Just four examples out of the 44%. And even with 44% of crime no longer being reported, there's only a 7% drop in crime. So how far has crime really gone up?
Mm-hmm.
Was it how far has the crime rate really gone up? So all the facades that you, this all facades. Because when they found out that the vaccine wasn't working, they simply stopped tracking the infections amongst the vaccinated. They simply stopped tracking the fact that the vaccine wasn't working and claimed that it was still working. Now, isn't that criminal? Isn't that actually treasonous? It really is. It really is. All right, I got to stop the show right here. This is where I got to, I told you I got to stop early tonight. I apologize for that. I'll hit this even harder. I've got a Ryan Cole video that I'm going to hit pretty much starting right off. Oh, wow. This is new. Thank you, Aaron, for this. Hunter Biden has been convicted of all three felonies in the federal gun trial. He faces up to 25 years in prison. There we go. Awesome. Awesome. That's how it should be. Hey, you know what? But here's the thing with this. I probably shouldn't have even... Better for me not to have even known that. But anyway.
Sorry.
But that's really so that the DOJ can say, see, we're fair. We're prosecuting the president's own son. But the president can pardon him anytime he wants, although he's vowed he won't pardon him.
Yeah.
But they can say now, see, it's all fair. So they can justify 34 criminal indictments, 34 criminal convictions against Donald Trump for crimes that don't even exist on planet Earth. They don't. But again, I can spend the next half an hour and then I won't keep to my commitment of cutting it short. I'm only cutting it 4 minutes short right now. I'm only supposed to do 90 minutes. So, I'm doing 86 minutes. But anyway, stick around for the post game. It is excellent. Appreciate each and every one of you. I'll probably end up making up for the time that I'm missing tonight on Thursday. So don't miss Thursday. I don't even want to stop right now. I have so much, but I've got to stop right now. I have a scheduling issue. But anyway, love each and every one of you. Stick around for the post game. Don't miss Thursday night. Probably at least a two-hour long show. Usually it's 90 minutes of Fury. Probably be 120 minutes of Fury on Thursday night. I'm not guaranteeing that, but it probably will be because I'm going to have to make up for all the stuff I didn't get in. I have so much more, a stack of stuff that I wanted to get to. Didn't get to hardly any of it. I should have put vaccines after my transgender section because I got a whole transgender part and FBI trans and all this different stuff. But anyway, love each and every one of you. Stick around for the post game, and I'll see you Thursday night. You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses, how does salt lose its flavor? It doesn't say what it's supposed to say and do what it's supposed to do. What does salt do? It's an adjutant. But if the salt loses its flavor, it's good for nothing. We're supposed to be the healers. Those that bring light into darkness. You bring light into darkness, it's irritating. It's agitating. That's what you're supposed to be. And not in some weird way. With the gospel. The darkness is comforting. You sleep in the dark. It's comforting. It's comforting to tell dead people, you're dying people. You're always going to be a cancer patient. It's just the way that it's somewhat comforting. I see people give into it all the time. It's comforting for them. They can officially give up. That's not your job. You bring the light. If that agitates them, oh, man, I can't. Fine. You're their only hope.
If you enjoyed watching the Tom Lipley podcast, please consider investing in our program. Go to tomlipley.com and donate $25 or more, and we will send you this TLP mug warmer. We look forward to you tuning in next week, and thank you for giving.